Now that you're here, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we come once again, Lord, on this Sunday morning, and it's kind of cold outside, but in our hearts it's warm with your Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we just want to look at the holy life today and how your Holy Spirit is that life in us. And so we want to look at the dynamics of how it works. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. So it's going to be Satan's Eden number 212. The Holy Ghost is a life, okay? Now from Satan's Eden 61, Brother Branham said, I heard Brother Neville this morning. Someone might have been asking him, why didn't I preach on the Holy Ghost? Why didn't I do this? Well, here it is. The Holy Ghost is the action in you, okay? It's a life, not an emotion, not some sort of fleshly evidence, but it is a person, Jesus Christ, the Word of God established in your heart to quicken every word of this age, right? Now, when we look at the word heart, we must understand it means your understanding, okay? In other words, you know these things are happening. You pray, you ask God to do things. God is actually doing things for you. He's answering our prayers. He said he would. He said, ask the Father anything in my name and I'll do it. And then when you see the results, that's the manifestation of the word. Okay? In other words, you say, well, you know, brother so-and-so, there's miracles, and brother so-and-so does this, and brother, you know, but what about you? When your prayers are being answered, that's showing the word is actually active and it's manifesting in you. So you are producing manifested word. All right? Now, he says, it's a life. It's not an emotion. See, so many people get excited, you know, just everything's, you know, let's just jump up and down, let's, you know, but it's not an emotion, he said. You could be emotionless. It's not an emotion. It's a life. Not some sort of fleshly evidence, okay? But is a person, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, established in your heart or your understanding to quicken every word of this age, right? Watch the Holy Ghost in action. Not so much in demonstration, but in action. What it does according to the Word. Now, I know some people may think that I'm attacking message believers here and there. But if they were really believers, then the comments doesn't even concern them. So I'm not talking about them, okay? I'm talking about people actually pretending. Now notice what Brother Branham is telling us here. And besides, I've said it many times, this message is not a denomination. Therefore, this is not a message church. That's not a message church. Branham Tabernacle is not a message church. There are Christian churches that believe the message. There's a difference. If you start cloaking them as a message church, then you're in a you got denominational thinking. Get that out of your mind. Brother Branham never once said this message church or this message church. He said it's Christians, okay? There's a lot of Christians, but there's no denomination called message church, all right? So just get that out of your thinking. We believe a message, but that doesn't make you a message church. It makes you a Christian believing a message. I believe the Bible. That doesn't make me a Bible church. It makes me a Christian church or a Christian that believes the Bible, okay? Notice what Brother Branham is telling us here. Last week, I showed you how we expected to rightly divide the word of truth. We were also told to discern right from wrong and right actions from wrong actions. Therefore, we are supposed to discern between those who are right or right acting. And from those who are wrong and wrong acting. If you can't do that or refuse to do that, then you don't believe what the Word of God tells you to do. Because he said we must rightly divide the Word, okay? We must have a discernment in us, which is the Holy Ghost in us, to tell right from wrong. In other words, to understand what twins is all about and to be able to discern twins when we see it, if we would open our Bibles to 1 John 5 and 12, let's take it for our text, okay? 1 John 5 and 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. May the Lord add his blessing to his word. So you, all right. So today we will speak from our text, which is he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Now, a lot of people look at that word hath and they think, well, I have. It's not the word have, it's hath. Okay? Have and hath are two different words. All right? And so you're saying, well, I have the evidence that I have God because, you know, whatever. No, you he that hath the Son, now you gotta watch this carefully. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Okay, so what is this word hath? It's a very important statement from the Apostle John. And since we believe that the Word of God is God-breathed, these words were not John's words, but rather the words of God given to us through God's servant John. Now, we receive many beneficial outcomes by believing in the Son of God. I mean, he's our older brother. We see these very strong and notable words concerning the doctrine of Christ, which you find in John, in 2 John 2:9, which says, whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, here's that word hath again, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. So, there's a lot of people that claim they have God, but they don't have God. You understand? Now, we're going to look at that word again. Now, John is speaking to us here concerning two types of people who shall we shall say as twins, and he's contrasting to us the difference between these two different people. First of all, he speaks of those who would transgress and not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Now, the word transgress uses this verb of Scripture. Used in this verse of Scripture, was translated from the Greek word parabeno, which is made from two words coming together. The word para speaks of vicinity, so it speaks of location or proximity to the location. And the word beno means to walk or to keep pace with. So placed together speaks of not being in the vicinity or keeping pace with the words going beyond the limits. That's what it's telling us. You're going beyond the limits. In other words, if you're not keeping pace, then if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, you're keeping pace. But if you're not walking in the light as he is in the light, you're not keeping pace. You've fallen behind, okay? Therefore, we can read this, whosoever does not keep pace with or goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Now, it doesn't say have not God. Because a lot of people say, oh, I have God. I love God. No, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And you can say, how can I have both the Father and the Son? It doesn't say have. It says hath, H-A-T-H. So we see the comparison John is speaking of here has to do with those who would abide in, which means to remain in, versus those who will not keep pace with and thus will not abide in or remain in, and thus go beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ. And then he tells us that those who will not keep pace with or remain in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, while those who remain in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. It is this word hath that I wish to examine here this morning, because we find this word hath used in both of our texts. And this most important scripture of 2 John 9 concerning the doctrine of Christ. And once you understand what this word hath means, you will understand that the same thing is being spoken of here in both of these scriptures, showing the consistency of the Word of God. Now, examining this word hath, we find the word was translated from the Greek word echo, and is used over 600 times throughout the scripture. So he that echoes the Father echoes the Son. Why? Because the Son said the same things the Father said. All right? The Greek word echo has various applications of usage, including to have or to hold, both usages showing possession or relationship. So we can see that the root meaning of this word speaks of relationship directly or remotely, and thus the main strength of the usage concerns itself with continuity of relationship. Now, a man says, well, I love you, he's engaged your girl, he says, I love you. And so, anyway, they've been married 60, 70 years. And she goes, why don't you ever tell me you didn't love me anymore? Oh, I told you one time. It's good enough. That's not a continuity of relationship, okay? The word continuity means a state or quality of being continuous. In other words, if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, you're continuous with him, right? But if you walked at one time in the light, you can't call yourself a believer in the message, all right? It means an uninterrupted succession or flow, a coherent whole. It is a detailed script or scenario consulted to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot in a film. In other words, you don't have a film where somebody's, say, walking along and all of a sudden he's not there, but where'd he go? There's no continuity from shot to shot. Okay? As you can see, all these descriptive meanings show the attributes of what an echo really is. The purpose of an echo, then, is to bring about continuity or uninterrupted succession. In other words, Jesus Christ is the same. Yesterday, that's one shot. Today, that's another frame. And tomorrow and forever, okay? So in other words, from shot to shot to shot, all right? You're saying the same thing that your prophet of this age said, right? And he's saying the same thing that Paul said. And Paul said the same thing Jesus said. And Jesus said the same thing. He said, the Father commands me what to say. So he's saying the same thing. So there's an echo, an echo, an echo. How many ever stood on a cliff? First of all, how many ever stood on a cliff, okay? All right. Now, secondly, how many ever yelled so that they could hear their echo? Anybody do that? How many times did it come back to you? More than once, right? Maybe seven. You know, it gets fainter and fainter, but it's, you know, we have seven church ages. They all said the same thing. You get the echo of God going all the way through, you see? In other words, the flow in motion pictures, the continuity means to avoid discrepancies from shot to shot. In audio, it means uninterrupted from voice to voice. In other words, you don't take a clip of a person here talking and then all of a sudden you take a clip of him saying something different. In other words, taking it out of context like they do in the media almost every time you turn on a program. You know, they'll take one shot, but then they don't tell you what he said before or after. So it just totally looks like the guy's a lunatic. So in Scripture, we can see that all Scripture ties together and is quoted together. In other words, we don't take one Scripture says, Judas hung himself, and another scripture, go ye therefore and do likewise, and put them together, and now you don't have a continuity, okay? You have to rightly divide the word of truth in order to have a continuity. Thus, you see that an echo will keep the continuity of thought and speech because an echo not only will say the same thing, but will bring forth the same inflections. In other words, the importance you put on the word and dynamics of the original speech and time and time again, it proceeds forth in its course of life. Thus, the spoken word we see is the original seed. And as a seed, it is subjected to the commands of God concerning all seeds that he spoke of in Genesis 1:11, that every seed must bring forth after its kind or its nature. You don't open up a package of watermelon seeds and expect cucumbers. All right? You don't expect wheat. You expect watermelon. Okay? Thus, in each seed, as each seed comes forth from the original seed, there must be an ability to echo or repeat what the seed is. And if the original spoken word is a seed, then that spoken word seed must bring forth after its kind. Thus, an ability to echo will guarantee the continuity that each time that that word is repeated, it will not only say the same thing, but the same thought as the original will be in it. And let me just say this, the same nature will be in it, which is the same life, okay? It is interesting that the word echo in the Greek means the same thing used in English. It means the same thing in the French, in the Spanish, in the German, in the Norwegian, in the Portuguese, in the Polish. I looked them all up. And virtually all languages we translate these words, these sermons into. Now, it might be spelled differently. It might be E-K-K-O, which is a Greek, or it might be E-C-C-O, which is, I think, the what is it in Polish?
Echo.
Echo. right? Yeah. It's spelled same. Okay. And Norwegian, you know, it's all same, okay? Because the echo expresses with dynamics of the word first spoken or the original spoken word seed and will be the same from generation to generation as it repeats itself over and over again. Thus, you are echoing the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Thus, when you get to the white throne and your life is covered over by the blood, and he'll play back everybody's life and will only hear the words of God echoed from the Son to the Paul, to Columba, to Martin Luther, to John Wesley, to William Branham, and now you're echoing the same thing. All right? And the repetition reflected is like an echo to echo and will carry along with it the same expression and dynamics, inflections, tone, etc., and will sound exactly as the original seed sounded, and that was Christ. Years ago, I heard Brother Vail preached a message called the Omega Reflection. And in it, he spoke about when Moses came down from the mountain and his face were aglow from the presence of the Lord. And it was from 1 Corinthians 3. And the people, we don't have time to read the whole, because you got to read the whole chapter to understand. So we don't have time. And the people made him put a veil over his face because they were afraid of his face glowing from the Shekinah glory of God. He was up there for 40 days. And when he came back, his face was all aglow from the Shekinah presence of God. That's an echo. That's a reflection. But if they had just stood in that reflection long enough, they would have began to reflect what he had reflected. That's why Brother Branham said, we must lay in the presence of the Son to ripen. You see? And Brother Vail went on to speak of how the prophet is in direct line with the pillar, the light of the pillar of fire. And as he reflects it, he would stand there in that same light, and pretty soon we would reflect from ourselves that same light. So if we stood with the prophet long enough, didn't put in our 2 cents, we just saw that light, we're basked in that light, we'd be saying the same thing, okay? The same light would be coming from us. Now, this is a very good thought, and it has inspired my studies throughout the last 40 years. From the Church Age book, the Smyrnian Church Age, paragraph 140, in every age we have exactly the same pattern. So from Jesus, Paul, Irenaeus, all the way down, okay? That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area, like Jeffersonville, for us. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others, that's us, who have been faithfully taught. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. You see, it used to be written text was kind of irrelevant. Children would learn the stories from the Bible orally, okay? Then they would tell them enough times the children would begin to repeat them. That's why Brother Branham didn't say play the tapes. He said, say what's on the tapes. If you repeat it, you got to think about what you heard. If you just play it, you don't think about what you heard. That's why I have a grievance against that. It's not that, you know, they're going to hell or anything like that. I don't believe that. But I'm just saying it just doesn't get the person to study. It just says background noise and you're okay. Background noise is not okay. You know, you've got to repeat it yourself. You've got to teach others yourself. You see, women say, well, me teach? Yes, you're supposed to be teachers of your children, okay? So remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. See, from the Lord first. What, came the word of God out from you, or did it just come unto you only? They add here and take away there, and soon the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. It's not the voice of William Branham, although he was God's reflection or echo to us. All right? But one voice is God's voice, and it's the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? Paul warned them to say what he, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God by the way of his messengers and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. And that is a true echo. That's why Brother Branham said, I can't tell you anything. I can't say anything until he shows me first. Then I can tell you. I can only say what God tells me to say. And we should be the same way. We should only speak what the Bible and what God's prophet has taught us, okay? That's a true echo. You say, well, what has been said in the same way that it was said? Now that we know that what the Greek word is that was translated as the word hath, let's read the two verses of Scripture over again and see how our understanding changes as we read. So we're just going to break this down. 2 John 9, because this is where we find very strong language concerning the doctrine of Christ. It says, whosoever transgresses, and remember, that's not staying up. It's not walking in the light. It's kind of hanging back, you know, or getting ahead, but you're not staying with the light. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not, see, abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. In other words, abideth not in the walking in the light, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Now again, let's plug in our understanding of what the Scripture is saying and use the actual words that best fit into the Scripture. Whosoever does not keep pace with nor goes beyond the limits of the doctrine of Christ echoes not God. And why is that? Because if you do not keep pace with, you are either speeding up or slowing down. You are falling behind and no longer walking in the same light as he is walking. Now, you might be so walking in the same light that he did 10 minutes ago. Or let's put it this way. In an age gone by, another age, like the Western age, you know, God was walking in the light at that time. But see, he's walked on. But if you're still back in that light, you're not in the light of today. You're not walking in the light with him. Okay? Because if you do not keep pace with, then you are either speeding up or slowing down. You are either falling behind or no longer walking in the same light as he is walking. An echo cannot speed up, nor can it slow down. It must stay constant, and consistent with what was said. So, in other words, I can't say, well, put it this way. We've had translators in the past that would just take a dictionary to translate. So their translations were wrong because there's probably four choices to use, four words that you can use, which are similar, but they're not the same thing. And so they would use one of those, and so it takes you off just a little bit from the mark. Well, like Brother Branham said, if it's a little bit off here, by the time it gets to the bullseye, it's way off. You don't even hit the target, okay? So an echo cannot speed up, nor can it slow down, but it must say constantly and consistently with what was said. That is why Brother Branham said, say it like the tapes say it. He said, you must say it. He didn't say play it, but say it. Because if you do not say it, you must not understand what those tapes are saying. Years ago, certain preachers, they quote Brother Branham here, quote Brother Branham there, and they had all kinds of isms because they were misquoting the prophet, okay? And so they had two souls, or they had, you know, seven thunders, or they had all kinds of stuff. Because he had to say on those tapes exactly what God told him to say. So when he said, thus saith the Lord, what he was really saying was the Lord already said thus. In other words, I'm just echoing what the Lord said. So he was just echoing what God said. Just like Jesus said, the Father tells me what to say, and I speak, and thus I speak. From the New International Version, Jesus said, for I did not speak on my own, But the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. And in John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Now, when I was teaching at the university, I had students come in. They came in my class, and I didn't do things by showing, by having the people read. I did things by, I showed them how the programs worked. In other words, the drop-downs on each thing up at the top, like if you've ever used Word, you have formatting, you have printing, you have all these things. And so I showed them how each thing worked, and then they would do it over and over, and they would get it. And I had people come to me halfway through the class and say, by this time I would have dropped out with another teacher, but because you're doing it the way you're doing it, I'm actually doing it well. In fact, they actually got an A in the course. All right? So, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. Now, if I told a child and I said, do this, they're going to maybe do it wrong. But if I tell them, do this, and this, let me show you how to do it, and then show them how to do it, they're going to do the same thing. Right? That's what Jesus did with the Father. And John 5:30 says, I can of my own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So if you get into a mentoring on a job, and you do exactly as you're taught to do by repetition, by watching the person, then doing what the person's, you're going to get to become an expert. But if you get on the job and you say, well, I've got a better way, you're not. All right? You're going to make a lot of mistakes. And he continues in John saying, John 2:9, he that abideth, which means remain, in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. So, you're echoing the same thing the Son did. You know what that makes you? A child of God. A daughter of God. A son of God. That is why I preach the way I do. I use God's prophet and what he says. And then I show you in the Word of God the same thing so that you can see God is in the Word and he is the same and changes not. That's Malachi 3:6. I am God, I change not. It's also Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now let's examine this light with our text verse this morning, 1 John 5:12. He that hath, or he that echoes the Son, hath, or echoes life. And he that hath not, that means he cannot echo, the Son of God hath not, or cannot echo life. So, in other words, if you understand the Word and you're saying the Word, you're going to live it. If you're not living it, you really don't understand it, you're not echoing it. It's a promise from God. Then if you cannot echo the Son, you cannot echo the same life, which first came from God and into his Son. That's John 5:26 says, the Father hath life and giveth it to the Son. And then into his sons. In other words, God life. But you see, when Jesus came, he said, it is written in the volume of the book, I have come to do thy will, O God. He didn't have his own thinking. He got rid of it. He received God's thinking. Again, Jesus said in 5:19 and 5:30, John 5:19, the Son can do of himself do nothing, but whatsoever the Son seeth the Father do, the Son doeth likewise. And he also said in John 7:16, my doctrine is not mine, but the Father's that sent me. That's the way if a person has a doctrine that was not in the Scripture and Brother Bram didn't say it, it's wrong, period. It's not an echo. And he said in John 12:49 and John 14:31. The things that I teach, the Father commanded me what to say, and that is what I teach. So when he is teaching, he is echoing. All right? Now, how did God teach him? God said it, and he echoed what God said. In John 12:50, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. And so we see that the Son of God reflected or echoed the Father in every detail. And thus, he that can echo the Son will echo the life that is in the Son. And it first came from God, then the Son, and from the Son into sons. For God is life. And he that will remain in the doctrine of Christ will echo both, and both speaks of two, the Father and the Son. For if Jesus echoed the Father and we echo Jesus, then we are also echoing the Father, as second echo off from the first echo is still the same as the first echo. Okay? Thus it proves we are sons when we echo what God said. I want you to really think about that. The fact, the very fact that you can echo this message, what God's prophet said, and take it to the scripture, shows you are a son or daughter of God. Thus, it proves we are sons when we echo what God said. Either from the first of the echoes, which was Jesus, the firstborn, to the seventh echo, which was William Branham, it's all the same. For an echo is not a one-time event, but it happens over and over again. It's just like to believe that God healed you or God saved you. That's an echo. You know, he that believes on the Son of God shall be saved. Taking that same echo and saying, by his stripes I'm healed. It's the same echo. It'll do the same thing. It'll produce the same life. You see? God didn't take me this far. God didn't take you this far to cast you away. He's not an ogre. He's not a mean bully that says, oh, you just messed up. You're going to hell. He's trying to child train you. Now, if you do mess up, he just gives you a little bit of a spanking and on your way you go. Right? Thus, Jesus, as the first fruits, was the first to repeat the Father to us. And as we catch the vision and are conformed to the image of the firstborn Son, as we see in Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate you to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's you and me. And thus, we echo both the same word and same life as Christ, our elder brother. It's a family trait in all of the entire family of God. Then also, we do nothing unless the Father shows us first. And what we teach are the commandments from the Father, given to us through the first echo of his firstborn Son. Thus, we echo, and you know, this is a very simple sermon, I'm sorry, but it's very simple, very base, but it's also very true. And if you can just catch this principle, you're on your way, okay? Thus, as we echo them to others, they are repeated again and again and again, showing the word is living and abiding in us. It doesn't matter if William Branham said it, if you say it, if Paul said it, because it's coming right down the line from all the same, we're all saying the same thing. Just like your heart pumping shows that you are alive. I don't have to hear this message from Brother Branham to know it's true. I can hear it from you. I can hear it from Paul. I can hear it from Jesus. Paul, because Brother Branham, what did he say? When they questioned him on the other side and he gathered all his people together, he said, does Paul have to be judged? He said, yes. Well, I am just echoing what Paul said. It's not, he didn't use that word. He said, I'm just saying what Paul said. But same thing. I'm just echoing Paul, right? So it doesn't matter where you're getting it from. It's the Holy Ghost in you that's echoing. Just like your heart is pumping, shows you your life. And you take an echo. How many of you have ever had an echocardiogram? Okay. To check to see if your heart, to see if it beats, if it repeats the same beat. Because in an echocardiogram, they can say, well, it's consistent. There's your word again, consistent. It's not, you know, beep, 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 you know. No, it's beep, 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 beep. All right? So, You're looking to see if your heart, to see if each beat repeats the same, if it's echoing the same, echocardiogram. So to your echoing the word of God again and again and again shows that you have been made alive in Christ. And notice, as in the natural, the heart pumping the blood, which the life is in the blood, and thus the pumping of the heart is the evidence that you are alive in the natural. Okay? So too in the spiritual, when our heart, our understanding, represents then thus, as our understanding echoes the word of God again and again, it is evident, it is an evident token that you have been made alive in Christ. It's that simple. And the life that was in the Father and given to the Son has quickened you, and you are alive, showing that He and His life is the same. Yesterday, 1960s, 2000, back in Paul's day. Today, it's this, and eternally, forever. That is why Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, I am, present tense, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but yet it's not me living, but Christ is living in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I am living by the revelation of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul was echoing the life of the Son. In other words, Paul is saying, since I was crucified with Christ, I am living by his faith, his revelation, and thus as a result of the life by which he lived, I too am living. And thus we see the life which was in the Father being passed along to a son and then to sons. The most important part is then to sons. And so we see that whosoever is of such a nature as to be able to echo the Son of God will also echo the Father who is life. That's the Weiss translation of the same verse. Now let's look at the word hath again in reference to the effect that it has upon those who possess the ability to echo verses, those who cannot. Not echo verses, but echo versus those who cannot, okay? We know that in 1 Corinthians 2, it tells us that if you do not have the Spirit of God in you, then you can never understand the things of God. But if you have the Spirit, then you will understand the things of God. Yeah, you believe what the Scripture says about that? Okay. So it is apparent that if you do not understand the Word, then you cannot echo it. And therefore, they will not echo His life as well. Like a child. He thinks he's echoing his parents in his mind, but actually sings a song with perhaps a correct tune. Even the rhythm is right, but not the correct words. Now, I remember a little girl, all right, who tried to sing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, because the whole family was singing together. But it came out Swing Low, Sweet Cherry Oven. All right. Not exactly the echo, perhaps a poor repeat, but not exactly an echo. So without understanding, you cannot echo. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, but when I become a man, I put away those childish things. Now, Matthew 13:12 says, for whosoever hath, which means whosoever echoes or is of such a nature as to be able to echo, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And why is that? Because the very nature of an echo is to have more and more and more of the same. It's the same word. Now you've got it again. Now you've got it again. You see, it's coming. It's a echoing of the same thing. Like Brother Bram emphasized, piling word upon word upon word until it takes a hold of your entire being. But whosoever hath not, whoever is not of such a nature as to be able to echo, from him shall be taken away even that he thinks he has. It's not an echo. So he thinks that he's got it, and his doctrine is just completely polluted because he's often, who knows what. I'm not speaking of any person. I'm just saying that because they're not saying what he said. All right? Now, the two word term, hath life, is also it's used 23 times in the New Testament. But in my examining the use of the term hath life, I found that the word hath was not always translated from the Greek word echo. And to my amazement, the only time it was not taken from the word echo is when it referred to something God did anyway. And God doesn't echo, because who's going to echo? Right? So God gives. And why is that? Because God doesn't echo. Who's he going to give? Who's he going to echo? He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. Now think about this. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. That's Jesus Christ. And in this hour, we saw the Word become flesh in William Branham. We're seeing the Word become flesh in who? Us. His spoken word's original seed is not an echo. But each time that word reflects from one to the next, it is echoing. Therefore, the source of life does not echo, but we echo what he said. Notice in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That word is echo. So no murderer is echoing eternal life. So we see that no murderer can echo life. But we examine 1 John 5:11, and this is the record that God hath given to us life, and this life is in his Son. But here we do not see the word echo used. That word hath is not even there. It was just put in there by the authors of the King James Version. The word hath there is an interpolation and is not in the original Greek. Simply put, God hath given, but God gave to us eternal life. You see, they didn't understand hath. They didn't understand echo. They didn't understand, so they took the term hath as to mean something he does. But we take the word hath as echo. And you can see that they were wrong, okay? Now, we've already seen the usage in 1 John 5:12. He that hath or echoes the Son echoes life. And he that hath or echoes not the Son of God echoes not life. And in Acts 11 and 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Now the Greek word again is an interpolation. It's not even there in the Greek. The Greek word for hath was translated from, was not echo, but didomi, which means to give. Thus, when God gave to the Gentiles, but nowhere does it say that God echoed to the Gentiles. You see the difference? You see, an original voice cannot be an echo, but it can have an echo. A father has sons, okay? He gives what is his, and he does not echo, because that would be echoing himself. And since he is the original, he does not echo. We echo him. John 15:13. Greater love hath or echoes no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now God cannot lay down his life because he is the only immortal king, which means he cannot die. So his son did. Okay? John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath, or echoes, everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. John 5:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me echoes everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:26, as the Father hath echoes life in himself, in other words, it coming out of God, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me echoes everlasting life. John 6:54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear echoes. He that is of such a nature as to be able to hear an echo, to him, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And then John 20:31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might echo life through his name. And John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. Let's just look at one scripture again. 5:26, John 5:26. For as the Father hath echoes life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So the Word of God, remember, before the foundations of the world, God echoed over and over and over in his mind himself. He didn't echo another. He echoed himself. In other words, the Bible says that his thoughts were there. And he went over and over and over. That's why you see when God speaks something, then Jesus speaks the same thing. Then Paul speaks the same thing Jesus said. You see, God really can't echo himself. So like Brother Brown said, his first thought is his best thought. So, but the life, it says he echoes life in himself. So he produces the life in himself. All right? Which is an echo. All right? So God can produce the life, but it starts with God. It didn't come from before God. It came from God. All right? Well, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we've looked at all these scriptures. And Father, we see that the spoken word came out of you. And then it came out of Jesus. And then it came out of all your prophets spoke your word. They said, thus saith the Lord. The Lord has said thus. This is an echo. And so we are only but mere children that have learned to do the same, to echo your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.